Okay, item nine, presentation on customer service standards.
So we wanted to provide an update. We had met in December 2017 and discussed some things that we had done over the last year to try and enhance and improve our customer service to our members. And since it's been about 6 months, we thought it would be a good time to come back and go through some other things we've done, provide a little bit of a refresher on what we had previously reported on. So I'm going to let Tim talk about kind of the background and then some things that we've recently done.
Yeah, so I mean, in our the December meeting, we talked about a number of items that we implemented and changes, improvements that have taken place. We are continuing the ongoing training on staff. In the last 6 months, we've concentrated some efforts on looking at communication that takes place with our members, you know, through the retirement process, the disability process, and if they're retired. And what we're looking for is consistent formatting, look, reviewing the letters, what they say, are they understandable to the member or to the average person as this is taking place, as well as consistency in formatting and branding of SOCERA. So that is continuing to take place and will be ongoing. As mentioned previously, we reduced the required response time to members' inquiries via the phone from 2 business days to 1 business day. Christine will mention some other items that have taken place also in the last 6 months. The response time for retirement estimates, we talked about last time, it was in the 6 to 8 week range. We are at, we have it down to 3 to 4 weeks right now. A lot of it also depends upon the volume taking place at the time, the complexity, as well as the timing. If we have someone contact us today thinking I'm going to retire July 1st, I need an estimate, we're going to move them to the front to assist them in making that determination, as opposed to somebody that may be looking for an estimate for, say, 2023. That they can work with, and as well as we're waiting for the annual benefit statements to go out that also have provide estimates to them, which may take care of their needs, at least at that level. The retirement application process, we're running 35-day business days to turn around retirement applications, which is good. Right now, for the first 5 months of 2018, we've received 20% more applications compared to a year ago, and we're processing through the majority, if not all, of the March retirements. That took place will be out by the end of this month unless there's some type of documentation holding it up or response. We did roll out an online survey for newly retired members. When they retire, they'll get an insert with their first check that says, hey, you can go to this website and tell us how we did. At this point, I'd say the uptick on that has not taken place. We're not finding individuals are using it. So we're looking at other measures, and again, Christina will talk about another survey we rolled out during.
Just comment that a lot of times if you send an email, then they just have to click on the link.
It's yeah, like, yeah. If we have an email address, yeah, that's
yeah. If we have it, so I seem to respond better. Otherwise, you got to type in the address and never get.
Yeah. Good idea. And like I said, we did talk about it, and that may be an option that we can follow. Disability application process. From the date the application comes in to the processing of it and bring it to the board, we have it down to 9 months. You note the 2 that came in today, the application dates were both September 1st. Actual processing time is probably more in the 7 month area, 6-7 month area, depending upon receipt of the information, getting the medical information, responses from the employer, questionnaire, and so forth. The quicker we can get the medicals, the quicker we get the responses, the faster it gets to our medical advisor to shorten the period. The monthly pre-retirement workshops, we're continuing to do those workshops. We're offering them in the morning and in the afternoon. As we get later into the year, we suspend them during March and April, or actually April and May, when we have a high volume of applications coming in. And then we get into the latter part of the year, we start offering two sessions a month rather than one. Enrollment for those is running very high at capacity. I believe right now we may be full through August as of this week.
I know the stuff you did with the new deputy sheriff hiring, the orientation was really well received. That's a great idea.
Good.
Yeah, that was, I'd say, really good outreach, as well as it gave you a personal connection with them and as well as with the sheriff's office. So it was, like I said, it was nice to hear both sides of it, and then you also know what works, what doesn't work, what we may understand and be clear. And it's, you know, it's like you're speaking another language to me. And so we go, okay, we have to refine this or explain it differently.
Yeah, is that the ongoing February Academy class?
Yeah, they canceled the, I'm going to say it was June 7th presentation. I think overall they weren't running the session. Our next one is in beginning of August with them. So we're calendared through the end of the year, as well as we've had the public health nurses do outreach to us again to come out and do a general presentation to all of their population to talk about not just an introduction, but it's how does it work, because they'll have individuals, you know, like the sheriffs, they were generally all new on board,
right?
Except for the other attendees that were there. The nurse population will cover the spectrum, similar to what we've done for the library. And so I'm going to turn it over to Christina to go through some additional steps that were implemented.
A couple thoughts on the first part, these eight bullet points.
Yes.
I guess we're scheduling these as updates kind of every 6 months or so to the board as to what's going on. It would be helpful, because it looks as if you're making really good progress on a number of these things, if you provided more comparative metrics. Mm-hmm. Only one of these bullets suggests what the responses have improved to.
Right.
One says, the second one says, reduced from two business days to one. That's a 50% improvement. That's fantastic. The rest of them just say reduced.
Right.
Okay. Better.
Yeah. Okay, just so these were 9 to 11 months. Now you got down to seven.
Right. It'd be really good. I mean, take credit for what you're doing and be able to put a metric on there that says what it looks like.
Yeah, and we. That's good feedback, and we are, like we were just talking about the mentioning the disability process, where it's 9 months and 7 months, say, from receipt. I mean, our objective is to shorten that to, like, say, overall a 6 month. Are we going to get there tomorrow? No. Yeah. But through the end of the year, our objective is to continue shortening the process time without sacrificing quality, the information we receive, and our process.
And with all the steps you're taking, there's bound to be a trend line there, and it'd be good to see the trend line, because it's hopefully going to continue to trend down.
Correct.
So,
okay.
The other training I was wondering about is, do we do any training in how we deal with the retirees' errors and, after they die, when they come in to try to close things out?
And Jerry.
Say what?
Well, yeah. Do they come in a lot?
That's the problem. They never show up after they die.
I'm talking about the deceased, and it's their children who are coming in to kind of wind down the estate. And I'm just bringing it up because one of my staff members had a very unfortunate experience dealing with us about 2 months ago. And essentially she walked in, and they said, "You owe us money." I mean, that was almost the first thing. It wasn't, "We're so sorry for your loss." It was, "You owe us money, we paid your mother's check, and now you owe money." And she just, and then when she kept trying to reach the person, she couldn't. I mean, it was just a horribly negative experience as she described it, and it's a very, very small part of the business that we deal in, and because, of course, we're trying to help our members, their retirees, but I'm just trying to, surviving family members, do we have training protocol? And probably what I should do is just put you in contact with my staff member who went through this, so she can sort of explain her frustration that she went through. But it was shocking. I mean, it wasn't so shocking that I didn't call Gail right up and say, "What's going on there?" I just thought, for the first thing you say to someone whose mother died, 3 days before, "You owe us money," and then it turned out she didn't. I just thought, oh, I hope we're not doing this. Yeah.
No, you can put them in contact with me. That's
okay.
Perfect.
I think I think
we go through. We do talk about sensitivity.
Yeah.
And so forth. And I'd say, you know, a number of individuals on the staff have experienced loss, and they're
right.
very sensitive to it.
Right.
And, you know, I cannot talk about this, you know, the case in particular,
yeah.
but I'd say it's unfortunate because that shouldn't happen. They should be very sensitive to the needs. They should, you know, again, sit back, listen, let them get, you know, what they need said. I mean, because I know we've had individuals where we've started the process and they're not, in some cases, I'm going to say, ready to deal with it.
No, they may not be. And then it was just sort of the frustration of not having a direct line to reach someone, not being able to leave a voice message, or leaving a voice message, but, you know, response
waiting.
Time
yeah.
and someone getting back to them, all of those things when they're at a very sensitive period in their
yeah.
life.
And like I said, and I'm more than, you know, I would take those calls.
Okay.
I mean, that's fine.
I'll put her in contact with you. Just
yeah.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but since we were talking about training, I thought
yeah. No, I think
your aspect we probably ought to look at.
Yeah, and we always, you know, trying to do that step, you know, the step back. How would
yeah.
you feel if that was you? Is that how you would want? You know, it could be your mother treated.
Right.
Would you want that treatment? Your child treat? You know, whoever it is, you know, walk in their shoes and see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And we do
how
go
do you reach out to them? I mean, you've got like an address for the deceased and an email, but do you go to the beneficiary or just mail it to the address knowing somebody's going to read it?
It depends on the situation. If we're not aware of the death and it comes through our, the Death Service Life Status 360, we'll send a letter to the member saying, because you could have, you know, the false positive
mm-hmm.
Report and saying, hey, this was reported to us, please let us know, and we send it to the last known address. The majority of them come through someone calling it in to us, a family member, next of kin, or it could also be coming, depending upon the status of the individual, if they're still active, it could come from the employer.
So it could be somebody opening up their mother's mail after they pass, or they just want to inquire about the pension in general?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we have a form we fill out, you know, questionnaire, who, you know, who's called in, when they were called in, date of death, general information to follow through, as well as, it, you know, some of it does get challenging, you know, if the person calling in is not the beneficiary,
yeah.
we're very limited on what we can say, but we'll get in contact then with the beneficiary.
One of the things you commented on struck a question in my mind. You talked about making a projection for a retirement in 2023, just as a touch point. When you do that, do you use current compensation? Do you project compensation? Do you use some other form in projecting that benefit?
That's a good question. We will pull the MOU. And if we see salary increases or future salary increases are built into the MOU, we will build that into the estimate.
Okay.
If the MOU does not have it, we will not forecast. On the other hand, we do have individuals, and a lot of times, I'm going to say it comes from safety, and well, I'll say it's like, you know, Will calls in and says, you know, can you do a retirement estimate for me? You know, whatever my salary is this, but I want it for the year 2023, instead of using, say, $10,000, I would like it at $12,000. And we would accommodate that based upon the parameters they gave us, but it is qualified on the estimate.
Okay, you have capital letters or some form.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you provided us this information.
Right.
Exactly.
The actual number could be different.
Absolutely, and it is noted that the member provided us the parameters to run the estimate in this case.
And just so we're clear, that was a hypothetical.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Will
but it,
doing
it.
Actually, I did do that. Not to those variables, but I have. It was in the future. I said,
yeah.
if and I retire was, at 50.
Yeah, and it's actually looking at the recent promotion where they think, you know, I'm here and I'm going to be here. And it's, you know,
Tim, I, You know, you're sharing a little bit too much.
I was going through your thought.
I'm just kidding.
No, I know. Well, you know, it might get it, but it, a lot of those do come from safety. From the general membership, we get the ones of, oh, I have a 3% increase coming in July. Will you, you know, put that in?
So you might go through the end of the time frame that's, that the MOU covers, but if the projection is 5 years beyond that, you would stop at the end of the MOU time frame period.
Correct.
And it would be flat from that point forward.
Yeah, because we can't determine, you know, what the economy is going to
be. No, I'm in full agreement on that. You know, if you project a much higher benefit than, in fact, it turns out to be, obviously that is a that is a problem.
Yeah, and the estimates have a disclaimer.
Would it be more accurate to say, okay, you only do estimates up to the end of the current MOU? Instead of people coming in and saying, well, I might retire in 10 years. I want to know what roughly what I'll be making. I mean, it's a work list. It's a lot of work for nothing because it's not even going to be right.
Again, when estimates come in, we can have an estimate come in. We'll go, I want July 1st of 18.
Right.
Now, how about September 1st of 18?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
December 1st of 18.
Like
and you're slicing this pie. And this, you know, you're talking a couple of dollars difference in each one of the calculations.
Right, right. I mean, it's the workload for you guys.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
And exactly. And then you end up with ones that are going very futuristic.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that the benefit statement may answer their question.
Jim, do you have a limit? If somebody says, "I want to know 15 years from now what I'm going to get in retirement," do you say we don't figure that? We'll take up till 5 years, or we'll take up.
We'll provide the estimate that they ask for, but it also explain that it is the further out we go, the less reliable it is, as well as legislation.
I'm just thinking of staff time that it takes.
No,
And so I'm thinking, why don't we as a board do something about putting a limit on that, saying, you know, we'll grant up to 10 years and allow somebody that's planning to retire up to 10. If somebody comes in here and says, I want something 15 years from now,
I think it's legitimate. Let's say I compound at 3% a year because my spouse may want to take a certain job so we can plan our future retirements. I can see it being legitimate.
Isn't it just a keystroke? I mean, I would think putting in, Jane, here are the assumptions we're looking at and hitting.
Yes.
So, I mean, it does take some staff time. It's more than just pushing a button. But the one thing, well, a couple things is just, you know, we do direct some folks to the way, oh, did you know that on our website, there's a calculator so they can put in how many years of service and tier with a, you know, salary, and it gives them an estimate there.
I'm just thinking.
But I think also, especially when, you know, we don't necessarily get so many from folks who just start employment
with one
of the districts or the county. But I think it's good information if someone wants to know, oh, I'm going to retire in 20 years. What's that going to look like for me? You know, it's good to be able to provide that information to them. I think that there's definitely a benefit.
You don't mind
that.
The time. I'm just thinking
there's so many variables.
It's time-consuming, and we're...
Yeah, no, there's that part of it as well. It's just like, how realistic is that? But I think that when folks are wanting information, especially about a divine benefit pension, you know, benefit, you know, I'm more on the side of, you know, if it's not overly time consuming for us to prepare that information, you know, let's go ahead and do it. Because, you know, I mean, that's one of the biggest issues that we have is just people really understanding their benefit and that they're getting the benefit, and what's that going to look like? So whatever we can do to facilitate that for them.
Because I know people have based their defined contribution amount based on the kind of information, again, their spouse, what they're going to do. So I think it's useful. But a calculator does it, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you compound it 3%, let's say hypothetically 15 years, entering that number, you'd be okay, right?
Yeah, I mean, they just, you know, it's a few fields they plug in, and then they hit calculate, and it comes up for them.
Yeah.
This is probably a dumb question, but is there a disclaimer in all of the, particularly the longer-term estimates? Because to your point, you know, people are doing planning, right? You're trying to maybe do some fairly aggressive long-term planning, so you're going to rely on it, is my point. But at the same time, to Louis's point, there's so many variables that can affect it. It's essentially just a guess, right?
Well, that's what John was saying.
What, but so do we appropriately disclaim the quality of the information for purposes of reliance? Do we tell them, you know, mileage may vary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. So there's definitely a disclaimer on that.
Danger. Danger, Will Robinson.
We include the same disclaimer on the website, so even if they're running their own numbers, the disclaimer's there as well, and it's standard on every estimate letter. And when we do talk to members, we encourage them to go to the website first.
Right.
We're really, those long-term ones, those are really the members that are not comfortable going to the website and doing it themselves. They really need our assistance.
Well,
so the ones that are comfortable will use the website.
If we learned anything out of the Look Back Project, it was that the types and kind of information that we as an entity, then not independent, but now independent, provided to employees factored greatly in the determinations that we as a board made about what to do. So I just want to be sure that in every facet of information giving, we're careful to not make representations or warranties of any kind regarding specific numbers or outcomes. That's really all I'm getting at.
And the same is true in the presentations that we make. Working with Karen, there's a disclaimer at the end of the presentation that it's more or less, this is what's known today, and it is subject to change.
So how many of these are we seeing, these 20-year? It's, like, is it one a week or is it two a day?
I'm going to say it's a low number that come in that far out, but it would be normally somebody going, maybe providing three different dates that are further out, you know,
20
further
years
out. Yeah, say,
so
yes.
Is this like two a month?
I would probably get a handful a month like that. And a lot of times it's new hires, the people joining the plan for, the, you know, or coming in membership for the first time because they want to know, what am I going to have?
I didn't know anything about my retirement until I was 10 years into the system and started saying, well, wait a minute, what do I get at the end? And started, and I mean, I dabbed into it heavily once I discovered it, but it was like 10 years before I
cared about it. One thing that was, like when we presented to the sheriff, the new sheriff, I guess, newly sworn sheriffs,
right.
Some of the feedback that we came back, not a lot, but some of it was, I'd like to see more numbers on how over time, as your pay increases, and how the benefit to show a greater value to the benefit. Because you do a calculation now, and you use a dollar amount, you use projected service, you can use the maximum factor, and it comes up, you know, just throw a number out, say it's $6,000, and somebody's going, that's great, I love it. Another person's going, $6,000? In 20 years, that's nothing.
Nothing.
So I want to see push the number forward, and, you know, and so I want to see $10,000, $12,000, or the what ifs.
Yeah.
But that's where the online tool is perfect for that.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a valuable recruiting tool for any employer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what I was reading into that. But I don't know.
So I just want to say, Scott, to counter your point, you know, about the prior history of the Look Back Project and stuff, I think that employees should have a right to understand the implications of jobs, promotions, additional differentials, or anything that may affect their life and how it affects their retirement. I mean, I did this. I had two promotions coming up. And I wanted to see what the effect was, but I also wanted to go through it from a trustee perspective to understand, working with the counselor, what is that like? What do the forms look like? What are all the forms that are submitted, that are given to me,
right,
you know, in terms of the different options and those things? I went through it from a trustee perspective because I wanted to see that. I think in terms of the disclaimer, I know there was probably disclaimer language on there that it's an estimate, but estimate is inherently, I think, an estimate, right? In terms of, not, it's not saying this is your retirement amount in so many years. And when I went through it, since we've disclosed it all already, when I went through it was basically, this is based off these wages of these two promotional positions at the age of 50. That's what I just did. I just, you know,
right,
I wanted to go through it. You know, there didn't account for all the differentials and all that, those type of things, but for me as a trustee, it was a great experience, and working with Elise was phenomenal. So, but I, you know, 20 years seems a little bit, you know, a little much.
Iffy.
But
yeah, I mean, all I was really speaking to, because I share your view about the level and type of information that should be made available and access to it and being able to figure it out. I'm talking about the at least some of the testimony we heard were, I was told, we were told, mm-hmm. I was promised. Mm-hmm. It goes to the issue of us being in the business of making representations about specific outcomes at some point in the future. That's really all I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure Todd was kind enough to show me the calculator. I hadn't been to it online yet. Mm-hmm. So I could see how we work the disclaimer into that process. Mm-hmm. So I'm just preaching caution in terms of how we purvey that information, solely because if it's outcome oriented, I don't want someone 10 years to 15 years hence to the subsequent board, some of us may still be here, I don't know,
right.
You know, saying I was told or right. I was promised. That's because that was a lesson from that about how, as an agency, we had previously done outreach and committed, mm-hmm. if you will, specific
differentials.
Outcomes. That's really all I was getting at. Otherwise, I the more information, the better. I fully agree with you.
Yeah, and for my, let me just respond. So the when I did mine, you know, I mentioned Ventura, you know, and she's like, well, I no, you know, of course they can't say anything about that because it's, you know, but there were certain things mentioned in terms of like the vacation buyback. You know, we talked about that as an option, mm-hmm. and how the sick leave plays into the retirement. So there are certain things that are in the rules today that the employee has an option to plan for and prepare for in terms of sick leave. You know, how does the sick leave work? How does right. the vacation buyback work, you
right.
know, based off the certain positions? And that's all within the law, and I think that a lot of that back when you're talking about, I think a lot of that was within the law, and it was perceived that that was all fair and legal at the time, you know, with Ventura, the Ventura decision and all that. So,
you know,
I don't know, times have changed, right?
Yep. I guess I did it prior. I did the same thing you did. I wanted to experience it. So I went there, and Jerry Davis, she was very clear this is an estimate, and she didn't encourage anything. You know, I thought it was, again, she made it clear this is an estimate based on the number, what you're giving me. So my experience was it was definitely very unbiased, very clear.
Just a sidelight, I'll go back. I did a year after Ventura was when I applied. And Kathy Foster was the counselor here at that time that figured my retirement. And she's now what, the assistant chief investment officer?
Sarah.
Administrator.
Alameda County Chief Executive Officer, assistant.
Assistant, yeah.
Yeah, executive
assistant
officer.
CEO.
And she did mine. And I kept my form that she did. I still have it.
Was it accurate?
How close was it?
Yeah.
That's just how what? Where were we going?
Just a sidelight.
Yeah.
Okay. You do it. You just go through it. When it comes time to retire, you go through it. And you check every box you can check as an employee.
Yep.
All right.
Christine, so I wanted to go through some of the additional things that we've done over the last 6 months. Our phone coverage hours, we extended by an additional 2 hours per day. So these are times that members can call us. Previously, we had staff available between the hours of 9 and 4, and now they're available 8 to 5 to take phone calls for our members. We did change the title of what we called group counseling before, and I know Gail has mentioned this previously. But through the surveys we'd been doing, we found that a lot of the members coming in thought that it meant they were going to get a one-on-one counseling, but in a group type of setting. So we changed the name of it so that members have a better understanding of what they're coming in for. And we found that a lot of the other retirement systems use this title as well, a pre-retirement workshop. So now people seem to have a little bit better idea of what they're coming in for when they're coming in for these sessions.
I'm still trying to get my arms around group counseling, meaning
individual counseling
in a group
setting. It's in a circle.
I'm sorry.
Just try and get in touch with your feelings.
Processing it.
Sorry.
You get a coin at the end.
Get a participation trophy.
We also have created a very simplified member survey that
We have it in all of our counseling rooms and also out in the lobby area and on the website. And it's a very simple rate our service and then let us know where we can improve. So we're trying to encourage people to respond to our surveys, and we thought by having a very short, easy survey to respond to, it might help that responses. We haven't seen it increase yet, but we're trying to look at different ways to get more feedback from surveys, and that's one of them that we've
that's
implemented.
That's the little box out there. Got it.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. You can see it right out there on the table.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what that was.
And as Tim mentioned, we did some presentations at some different employers. The sheriff's one has been talked about. We have done a library one. We did an employer meeting with San Ramon Valley Fire and Moraga Arinda. And those meetings are a little different than the pre-retirement workshops. So the pre-retirement workshop is really meeting with members when they think that they might be close to retirement. And these sessions have been more on the front end, when they're getting hired into their positions, and what their benefits are, what a defined benefit plan is, what their contributions look like, when their contributions change. So different information about that, and we're trying to do more of that. We've created some contacts within the county to go out to other departments, so through the next 6 months we'll be going to other departments within the county and doing some of these presentations to more of the new hires now.
Do you make these offers also to other employee sponsors?
Yeah, we're open
or employer sponsors, and have we gotten much response on that? Much interest?
Not a lot. I think years ago we used to do it more and it stopped. And we're trying to kind of get that going again. So as we're making contacts, we're having a lot more kind of small group meetings, but we're trying to get into the larger, all new hires. We have, especially in the county, a lot of departments that hire a huge amount of people at one time. We really want to be there when those people come in the door.
Yeah.
So we're doing more outreach, trying to create more contacts with the county and our other employers on them being comfortable bringing us in and talking to their new employees. So it's definitely a work in progress.
I couldn't agree more and support that more. I get very discouraged, as having had previous communication responsibilities, when people will tell you that they haven't been told certain things. Nobody told us, nobody offered, nobody let us know, I didn't know. And then you find out all these various things that were made available to them, and they didn't take advantage of it. In this case, the employer sponsor is not taking advantage of the opportunity to have somebody come in and explain this. And I just think that's an incredible missed opportunity.
I think a lot of times it's also where we're being asked to come out and speak. It's not coming from, say, management or the employer side.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from more of the member side. They're going, they've asked for you to come out and speak.
Yeah.
There's a high demand from them and a high interest level to hear about the plan.
But to the extent that you can, I'd keep pushing on the employer sponsors about that, because inevitably it puts them in a position later on where they're answering those questions on CICERA's behalf. It'll be their employee HR department or whatever is being called these days, and they'll be answering those questions, and they're not as well informed as they should be either.
Right. And, yeah.
So. And I think also, I mean, some of these things that we're doing are newer things for CICERA to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I joined almost 4 years ago, we weren't doing any surveys. We weren't, you know, the employer outreach, we were doing some, but not to the level that we're doing now. And so part of it is kind of trial and error and seeing what's kind of working out. And also, the more folks we go and visit, the more talk that there is around it, and hopefully, you know, other folks, you know, are interested in having us come in as well. So I did want to mention that, you know, like with the surveys, you know, we're trying some different things and trying some new surveys and other ways of getting feedback on how we're doing.
Yeah.
And we've also taken a look at, you know, our publications, and over time we've transitioned to having a retiree newsletter, active newsletter, to actually having a newsletter for all of our members. So, okay, maybe you're active and maybe you're not as concerned about retiree things, but those folks might be close to retirement and they might be interested in what, you know, the information the retirees are getting.
Right.
So we've, you know, tried to, you know, focus our communications in different ways. So, But it is a, you know, work in progress.
Yeah.
But we're, you know, we're...
Keep pushing them. I'm sure you'll get a response back from Central Sands soon.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring up retirement at Central Sands. Get a good reaction there.
So speaking of surveys and the presentations and the pre-retirement workshops, from those surveys, we found that the new member presentations, the average rating was a 4.7 out of 5. So, and then our pre-retirement workshops was a 4.4 out of 5. Because the new member presentations was higher, we're starting to look at some of the information we include in the PowerPoint and the new member presentations and incorporate it into the pre-retirement workshop. As I mentioned before, the new member presentations does kind of start at step one of what is defined benefits. So we're looking at maybe we need to have that in the pre-retirement workshop. The pre-retirement workshop, we sometimes assume that people have an idea of what it is. I mean, we do explain how it's calculated, but maybe we take it back even further. So we're using some of the information we're getting from surveys to try and improve our presentations. And then we are using our website as much as we can. As I mentioned, we have the survey on our website now, one that's just a general survey for everybody. We also have the new retiree survey once they've completed the retirement process to see how that process was for them. We also have different ways to contact us. We talked about the report of death when somebody passes away. Previously, we would take that only through the phone, and we realized that there are some people that it is a difficult time. Maybe they don't want to call us. They can send us an email through the website, and we can reach out to them. So we've included that. We have a way of contacting us that goes through email, but you just go straight to the website, and it sends an email to us so that we can get a counselor to reach out to them. They also can set up a one-on-one counseling appointment through the website. So we're trying to use the website for more of those communication tools, since we know a lot of people now are on the web, sometimes more than calling. As Tim mentioned, we have been spending quite a bit of time looking at our letter templates and trying to make sure they're consistent, that down to even what size font we're using. You know, we really want to make sure that if somebody gets something from Sisera, they see it and think of Sisera, know it's Sisera, there's no question about it. So we've been going through that. We've been working with staff on making sure that all that formatting is appropriate. And then with the pre-retirement workshops, we also found that we have a lot of the members were asking questions on Social Security or their retiree health benefits, which are things that we don't handle here. So we thought it would be good to provide them with information on how to go and get those answers. So we put together a flyer that we include in the packet. Everybody that comes to a pre-retirement workshop gets a packet. It includes an estimate. It includes the PowerPoint that we present, so if they miss anything during that time, since we know it's a lot of information, they have it. And then now it'll also include this information that just has different phone numbers to reach Social Security, Medicare, where they need to go for their health benefits if they're retiring. So some of those things, just kind of a reminder, have you thought of these things? And here's where you can go. So we're trying to provide that to them. We also did, we created a new form. It's the reciprocity affidavit. And it's a little different. How we did reciprocity previously is we'd have somebody come into the system. They would tell us that they think they have reciprocity. We would reach out to the agency that they think they're reciprocal with, and we'd get confirmation from the other system, make sure that it's within the 180 days, that they're eligible, and then we establish reciprocity. That can take quite a bit of time, so during that time, we put them into the new tier, the tier at the time, which right now would be PEPRA for most people. And then once we get the confirmation, we move them into the legacy tier, and we collect all the missed contributions. So we're calculating adjustments months down the line. Sometimes establishing reciprocity with CalPERS could take 9 months to do. Wow. So the member ends up owing quite a bit of money, And it can sometimes be a shock to them. And the system hasn't had that money for the time as well, too. So what we found is some of the other retirement systems have done this, and now we're doing the same thing, is when the person comes in, if they tell us they have reciprocity, we immediately send them out the reciprocity affidavit form. They complete it. They show us proof, like their last pay stub from their previous employer, and we immediately put them into the legacy tier. We're still confirming with the other system, but this way we don't have to do an adjustment once we get that confirmation. And so it's helping our workload on the adjustments, and it's helping the members so they don't end up with a big check they need to write months down the line.
And the plan sponsors too, their payroll staff doesn't have to make these huge corrections. This is a big improvement.
And this is a big thing for us, because and then now, you know, if there is an issue with, oh, we weren't able to substantiate the reciprocity, they get a refund versus a bill.
Right.
And so,
which is always nicer.
And there's fewer of those adjustments than doing, you know, the opposite.
This is all really, really good stuff. And continue to keep it evergreen, keep checking, you know, so it's not a 5-year project where you go back, and that's really, really good stuff.
Yeah, ditto.
Very helpful.
And I have to say, for customer service, you know, it's not me or Tim, most of the time, every once in a while Tim, but it's not us that are doing it every day. It's really the staff here. And we just have staff that really want to make a good experience for our members. And so they have been very open to working with different ideas, coming up with ideas. So I really have to give, you know, any improvement that we make, it's because of them.
But the good news, too, is that it makes their job easier. And they are closest to the flame, and they ought to be able to give you a lot of good suggestions. And I think it's great that they're doing that, and they're comfortable doing it.
Yep.
And thank you for giving them credit for that, too.
How much do you interact with the other Serals? I know, like, Steve Delaney was here before. How much are you finding out what they do good? I mean, is it like at SACRA's round tables or shoppers, or do you actually make a point to...
So it really depends. I mean, obviously, we attend the CalPERS roundtables. You know, there's benefit. You know, there's all the different functional areas and administrators and trustees. But also, too, depending on what we're looking at, or if we're, you know, if there's a challenge that we have, we'll reach out to other systems to see how, you know, we'll do some informal surveys and that kind of thing on how they're handling them or. I mean, I would say that there's probably quite a bit of that going on.
Anything else for Tim and Christina?
Thank you.
That was really
great. Yes, thank you.
Really excellent to hear.
Thank you.